Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 38 of Dole Whips and Double Doubles. My name is Ryan Miller, and sitting beside me, as always, is my wife, Lauren.
Hello.
We're from Hamilton, Ontario, and one half of the Double Doubles. Joining us virtually, as always, we have Ryan and Lauren in London, Ontario.
Hello.
Welcome, everybody. Today is a fun topic. I feel like they're all fun for the most part, but this one in particular, because we are giving you an overview of the World Showcase in Epcot. For us, like, I know it's one of my favorite places, just because of all the things that are there that we're going to talk about, and all the strategies that you can use to make your way through it, which we're also going to talk about. But yeah, I think there's lots to discover for people of all ages.
It's also just such a beautiful part of, I mean, one of many, but as a whole, like, it's, I feel like you can just, like, move on to pavilion and just be like, wow, it's so pretty, you know, like every pavilion, so unique and
like meticulously designed.
Yeah.
I feel like it's worth mentioning how much, I mean, Disney Imagineering in general is always incredible, but the amount of Imagineering going into each one of these pavilions is always pretty breathtaking. Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's talk about the World Showcase. World Showcase opened as a part of Epcot in 1982. It is a 1.3-mile walk around the World Showcase Lagoon. I feel like I see that a lot.
Yeah.
All
do we need
place.
To say, like, there's the lagoon in the middle, sort of, and then the pavilions are,
yeah,
like,
they
around
go around
it.
From around the outside of that lagoon. You have to walk through what is going to be formerly known as Future World in order to get through Epcot into the World Showcase, unless you happen to be staying at an Epcot area resort, in which case you have a separate entrance which takes you right into the World Showcase at the International Gateway.
Also, if you arrive by the Skyliner,
that's
you
true.
Can come in that entrance.
Yeah, Skyliner is going to take you to the International Gateway as well.
Our longtime listeners know we highly recommend
it. Absolutely.
If you can get on a Skyliner, get on a Skyliner.
I will say, as a side note, like, I love the Skyliner. I also love entering from over there, but there is something to be said from coming in that front entrance and seeing Spaceship Earth.
Yeah.
Like, that is a whole other kind of experience, but, like, whatever. I mean, if you're over, you know, in the Epcot Resort area or coming by Skyliner, like, you're just not going to get that same impressive first impression. But
right.
That's neither here nor there right now.
Plus, that impression is going to change as Epcot's transformation continues over the coming year and a bit. I'm not too sure on the timeline there. But there's certainly going to be some major changes in Epcot that are already going on. There's major construction to update Epcot. But the World Showcase, I believe, is largely being left alone.
Mm-hmm.
So when Epcot opened, they actually started off with 9 pavilions. That was the Canadian Pavilion, the United Kingdom Pavilion, France, Japan, the US, which is the American Adventure Pavilion, Italy, Germany, China, and Mexico. It wasn't until 1984 when Morocco was added as one of the pavilions, and then Norway added in 1988 for a total of 11 pavilions in the World Showcase. I think it's one of those, like, Disney trivia pieces, but there are actually extra spaces in the World Showcase. And for anyone who's gone, it can be really difficult to visualize where those spaces are, and imagining more pavilions being in that World Showcase. But there are 8 additional spaces for pavilions to go in.
So hard to believe.
Yeah. And I mean, over the years, I know early on there were teasers for pavilions that Disney wanted to add. They didn't come to fruition. And even now there are still rumors that...
I think the long time rumor, one that's pretty persistent, is Brazil.
Brazil's a big one, and Spain, I think, yeah. Spain has been on the table.
If you could add a country, like, what would you like to see? I don't know. Maybe we'll return to this later.
I know they did have, like, Brazil at the last festival I was
at.
Yeah,
they always have a ton of, like, they bring in sort of other countries.
For, like, the food and wine festival? Yeah. It's sort of like a mini, this is what Epcot could be like if we added all these. I know there's Australia. I think, trying to choose a country would be pretty difficult.
That's hard.
I mean, I'd love to see something like Australia, but I guess something like Brazil makes the most sense, right?
They have a huge, like, there's a lot of Brazilians that visit Disney.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of tour groups. So there is a large population from there.
I would think, like, I mean, Australia for me, that would be fun, but there's no South American representation.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to potentially add something, a country from there, and maybe, like, definitely a country or a general African pavilion would be great. I know there's the African outpost, but that is,
I think it's so diverse though. You have to, like, pick and choose. Like, you can't just have, like, Egypt would be cool.
Yes.
I like Russia. Egypt
would be super cool. Seriously, like you could have like walk through.
There'd be a Sphinx.
But you could have a Sphinx, and you could have, like, a pyramid with, like, booby traps. I'm telling you, Indiana Jones.
Yeah. I think we have gone into one of our bonus episode territories here. Like, do we just stop now?
Absolutely. Yeah, we probably should stop now because I'm, like, percolating. I know. Like, yeah, no, that'd be cool. Okay. Yeah.
I will mention, so in terms of the spaces that that extra pavilions can go in, right now there are things that are that you notice about the World Showcase that are the ones that are filling in the space. So the African Outpost is one of those spots along the World Showcase where it's basically hiding what could be another pavilion in there. The miniature train near Germany.
No.
Yeah, that's just hiding a pavilion space.
I love that.
Oh.
And and if you've ever walked in between the Canada and the UK pavilions, and there's that big building, it's the World Showplace. It's where they hold convention
last year or
other special events.
Last year for Food and Wine, they had a lot of the seminars.
Yeah,
and the workshops
in that building.
Yeah. Also, we've done, like, they'll have a character pop-up meet and greet there. Like, we just, like, when cast members are in training, do you remember we met like the classic Donald? And so it's not really scheduled, and you don't know necessarily who will be there. There's no photo pass, but we were told, like, around 3 or 4 in the afternoon, if you went around there, they kind of open up that gate, and it's just like an impromptu character meet and greet. So I don't know if they're still doing that, especially now.
Probably not now, but
anyway, there is quite a space there.
Yeah. Let's talk about the big conundrum, and I guess a good large question that we ask ourselves, and that is, when you get into the World Showcase, let's say you're coming from Future World or from where Spaceship Earth is, and you walk into the World Showcase, which direction do you go? Because up the one side, on the left, you have Mexico, Norway, China, heading into Germany and Italy before you hit the American Adventure down the middle. On the other side, you walk through Canada, the UK, France, Morocco, and Japan before hitting the American Adventure. Which side?
So I would say we almost always go through Mexico first.
Yeah.
Especially when we have the kids with us, because Mexico has the ride, and then of course Norway is not far from, far beside it. Versus Canada has, like, any of the Circle Visions or any of the theater ones, You know, they're not as engaging for yep. kids, and so we don't, we haven't done them as much.
They're not as engaging for some adults as well,
it's, right?
That's true.
I know,
but I feel yeah, like we feel always like, start with Mexico, pretty much.
I feel like our decision depends entirely on whether we have a fast pass for Frozen Ever After or not.
That's fair.
And whether or not there's a festival going on, because I feel like festival Lauren and Ryan go the Canada way.
Yeah, we usually stop there, but I think if we're just like with no plan, we're just gonna walk the World Showcase, like we are usually heading
that's
to Mexico.
True. Yeah,
I feel like I've come from Canada, like I've seen it, you know,
but that's why I feel like it's an easy bypass.
Yeah.
No offense to
no.
to the Canadian pavilion,
we do
but...
stop there, but I it feels like there's sort of more going on in the Mexico
yeah.
side. But.
So why don't we take our walk around the World Showcase starting in Mexico and work our way around. That way we'll end with Canada
we'll
and that'll
end,
be our Canadian content for the,
we'll
for the episode.
We'll end up at home.
Yeah, we'll end up at home.
That's nice.
I mean, I won't lie. I feel like... the Mexico Pavilion versus the Canadian Pavilion. The Mexico Pavilion catches your eye a lot faster.
There's
because of that pyramid.
That and there's like there's booze right there, like pretty much right when you get there.
But if you didn't
like,
know,
no. But I just mean there's always like a line.
Yeah.
And there's like the music is quite different.
Yes. If
like,
there's
it's just more lively.
If there's the mariachi band playing, Mariachi Cobra.
I think so.
Is playing. That's like really inviting. You're right. The and I'm gonna butcher all of these names. The Choza de Margarita.
Yeah.
Is like that's the one that's outside serving margaritas. That has a huge line.
Yeah. And
all
that's
the time.
A little bit more of a newer ish addition.
Yeah, because you used to have to go inside to La Cava de Tequila.
Where I got ID'd as a, like, I think I was about
that's so nice.
35. And we happened to have friends from Ohio who were there, and I hadn't seen them in years. So we met up, and we thought, oh, you know, like, we'll just grab a drink and, like, walk around the World Showcase and catch up. And so my friend ordered a drink. And they gave it to him, no problem. And then I ordered the exact same thing, and he wanted to see ID. And I had my driver's license on me, but they wouldn't take it because
it was Canadian.
It was international. And I was like, well, I don't carry my passport here. Like, I don't want to lose it. And also, like, who lies about being 35? No one, you know. I was like, that's quite a little ways older, but they wouldn't serve me. I did find out that if you take a picture of your passport and have that on your phone, you can use that in conjunction with your driver's license. Apparently, some have been instructed to ID under 40, if you look under 40. Anyway, I didn't get a drink there, but I think I have it another point.
Yeah.
There's always someone to get a drink from at the World Showcase. So...
it's true.
Anyway, I love the, like, when you go inside the pyramid, though, I love that it looks like a night market.
Yes, it's perpetual twilight, and it's, so inside is, like, I feel like all the names of the restaurants all have San Angel, and I feel like inside that market is supposed to be San Angel in
yeah,
general.
Probably. Yeah, that sounds about right.
But yeah, we go inside and there's another pyramid inside.
Right. Yeah.
And it's I don't know, it's a really great stopping point. That market, there's lots of things to look at. I mean, not only can you go in and get tequila, but there's always that crystal shop,
mm-hmm.
like the glass crystal stuff that you can buy from.
Well, I know that Mexico is one of, I think Ryan has mentioned, it's one of his favorite pavilions.
Yeah.
Like, what do you guys do? Do you guys eat there?
Oh, yeah. No, we have ate there. We've ate in, like, beside the pyramid, like, along the water.
Right.
And then we've also ate across, I'll say across the street, but obviously across
yeah.
kind of the the walkway.
Can I just correct you there?
Sorry?
We've eaten.
Oh, sorry.
But also...
We've eaten.
No. Oh, all the grammar people are going to be having a meltdown right now. The one thing I was thinking about, though, if you do have little kids, I feel like indoor was a bit dark for ours. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
To sit through dinner in the dark was a little bit harder. And we did that with like a 8-month-old. But the ride is pretty fun. So you can the go ride in is and fun. Do the ride and enjoy the store.
I wonder how many people don't know that there's a ride in the Mexico Pavilion.
Yes, I know. It's hard to find.
Or like, unless you walk inside, you're not going to come across it.
We haven't said what it's called.
So it's the Grand Fiesta Tour starring the Three Caballeros, and we hope that it never changes. Although I know there's talks, rumors that, you know, Coco is such a good theme, and there are elements of Coco sort of inside that they've added.
I wonder if Coco, like, I feel like they need a much longer queue. Like, I don't, it's definitely would be more popular. So anyway, it's a good ride. It's a little boat ride. It's good to check out. Like, no height requirement. It's just like a fun, relaxing ride. And typically there isn't a long line.
Right. And I was just going to say, and I think one of the reasons why it's not a long line is it's nice.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wouldn't plan my day around the Mexico ride.
No.
I mean, it's kind of like Living with the Land, esque, in the way that it's very gentle and calm and serene. And I mean, it's got a bit of Donald Duck, you know, tomfoolery, but it's mostly you just having a lazy, you know, paddle down a river, you know, going across the Mexican scenery, which is very nice. But it's, I think that if there was an update to happen, as much as I'd love to keep the Three Caballeros, it is very much in need of a update.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it did get a slight one when they added those animatronics at the end.
Yes.
They certainly have sort of spruced it up a fair amount. But you're right. I mean, there are elements that are the ride wasn't always the Three Caballeros. It was different beforehand. And they didn't really update that much when they made it Three Caballeros.
And there's not even a fast pass option. No. And I think that also has to do with there's just not like there isn't a lane. There isn't a pathway for fast pass.
Right.
But all that to say, you know, there's a ride. So that's good to check out. I agree, Lauren, what you were saying about what is it? San Angel
Inn. Yeah, the like, San Angel Inn restaurant is the one that's inside.
And it we ate there without children and I found it a little bit dark.
Hard to see your food.
Yeah. And I actually enjoyed my food at their quick service more than at that particular restaurant.
Yeah. And the quick service is La Cantina de San Angel. And that's outside on the other side of the pathway. Right beside La Hacienda de San Angel, which is, I believe that's the one that you guys also ate at.
Yes, we did. And we did that with, I think with kids and without kids. I can't remember now. Definitely without kids.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, you know, maybe that was it's not something kids. You should waste on children. Like, they won't appreciate it. They don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely family friendly and everything, but it was a nice adult only dinner.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of anybody that's gone there and been disappointed.
No.
I'm sure there are people out there, but normally it seems like a safe and a good dining option. But I really enjoyed their quick service. They have quite a few options. Anyway, it was good. Anything else? You can meet Donald in normal times.
Yeah.
You can meet Donald with like what is it, a serape? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's wrong. but like Mexican motif, Donald. So he was fun. We've met him there a couple times. That was good. The music is always good. There's a band that will play outside.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're great to watch and listen to. Should we move on?
Yeah. Let's keep walking along the World Showcase. And next stop is Norway. And Norway, I feel like... exploded in popularity after Frozen was added to it. Like, yeah. I don't know. I loved Maelstrom, which was the ride that was there before. But I feel like Norway wasn't drawing as many guests into it as a pavilion until they right. added Frozen Ever After, and then it became the busiest pavilion around the World Showcase. Yes.
Well, I could see Maelstrom not appealing to like younger children.
There were scary trolls.
Yeah, trolls, yes, and like a polar bear that was standing up. Sorry, Lauren, like what did you say?
It wasn't related to anything. The kids didn't know exactly that from a movie or something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you had to just throw yourself into the lore.
Yeah.
But
there was that movie that you could watch after
at the end
that we never watched. We would just like quickly run,
walk through
and try to like duck for the few people who were watching it.
Yeah.
Well, and you kind of feel bad because those few people who were watching it probably didn't realize they didn't have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they would leave me like, oh my gosh, there's so much cooler stuff out here.
But I'm just trying to be respectful and watch the movie. But no, I believe Frozen Ever After was a significant upgrade to Maelstrom in terms of like story and appeal to guests for sure. Like it has some really, really phenomenal animatronics and the projection mapping and one of our like top moments on a ride, I think, when Elsa starts singing Let It Go, like that's such an iconic moment on that ride.
Also, one of the other draws, and I think a long time draw at Norway, is Akershus. Yeah.
Yes, the Akershus Royal Banquet Hall.
It's God bless you. I'm sure we've mentioned a few times, like, this is such a great alternative if you're going to be meeting princesses. Again, not during COVID times, but
no.
You know, it's on the dining plan, it's one credit. If you're paying out of pocket, it's cheaper than Cinderella's Royal Table.
So Ryan loves it.
Have you guys been?
Oh, yeah, it's a great value. No, no, we have not been. Again, okay, why have we not been? We have not been because there's lots of princesses, and that's, of course, fine. It's a buffet, which Lauren is not a huge fan
only
of.
Only part now, of it's a buffet.
Right. I would also say some of it's a little bit adventurous food. Again,
yeah.
With Disney, there's lots of other options, so that's not a big deal. I think, truthfully, we like Garden Grill.
Yeah.
There are so many great options of food in Epcot.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's really not. And I mean, honestly, I will say that also reviews in the past have been food mediocre,
right.
Princess experience is amazing.
Yeah.
If your son or daughter needs to meet a princess, that's a great way to get them to meet them without waiting in line. Food's mediocre.
Yeah.
And we had seen princesses at a couple other places on the last couple trips.
Yeah. So that's just, I mean,
it's
again,
not to say that we don't want to go there though.
No, I don't want to go there, but, that's just not where I would want to go and use a dining credit when I could go to, I'd love to go to Germany, and I haven't done Germany.
Yeah.
But Lauren would not want to go to Germany. So
well, I don't know.
We haven't even got there yet.
I know. Oh, sorry. That's right.
I liked the dinner that we had there. I think that with the menu, you really have to look past the names, because the names are
Chotgak.
Like very like not in English, so they seem more foreign than I think they are. Like there is the equivalent of the IKEA like Swedish meatballs and mashed potatoes,
but it's a fancy name, and I love it.
Yeah, and I think I did the like I wanted kind of a little bit of everything. Like I think I had like it was like half a sausage.
Oh yeah, it was like
meatballs.
It was a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
plate.
And really, my deciding factor was like I love like cabbage, or like that, like just like braised cabbage or something. And I think that was the only dish that came with it. So I got that. But we
Lauren
had a lot
has
of
a
food.
Low bar.
I don't know. It's a particular taste that some people share.
Yeah. My favorite meal was the cabbage.
Where else can you get that?
The boiled potato was a nice touch.
Yeah. But we had like fun drinks, and we met a sassy Cinderella.
Yes.
She was good.
Yeah, I think the whole experience, like, because it is, Yeah, it's not quite a buffet because your appetizers are your buffet, and then you order your entree, and that's and our, that comes to you.
Our dessert was sort of like
it was like a sharing shared. Plate.
There was a few options, and you could share some things. But I think it's a great place for guests that want to meet the princesses, and then they have a really cute, as they do at most of the character meals, like a promenade. So there was little girls, holding hands with the princesses.
I think it was any boy or girl that was basically pulled up to do the parade around. I think it's a good idea on Disney's part because when you check in just before you're being taken to your table, there is one princess who is set up for a photo op with a photo pass photographer. And so you would meet, in our case, we met Belle right off the bat, and had our pictures taken with her. And then the other princesses visited us at the table. So I feel like you get your let's take a photo experience, and then you also have your this is a character interaction. They're coming to you, and they'll take pictures with you at the table, but it's not as formal.
Let's talk about snacks. They're like little quick service sort of area counter.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we have a lot of pavilions to go through.
That's true, yeah. So really quickly, the Kringla Bakery au Café is the quick service there. And I don't know. I feel like there are lots of great options for sweet snacks.
There's also sandwiches.
There's some sandwiches. There's some savory items for sure. I think for us, it's all about school bread.
Yeah, but people either like it or hate it.
Yeah.
I think it's the cardamom. I don't think that spice is for everybody. But,
for sure.
But I like it.
But it's a custard-filled bun, cardamom bun, not everyone's into coconut, and that's on top as well.
They also have, a cute little grouping of frozen themed mini cupcakes that you can get.
Yep.
Troll horn. So it's kind of a lot of I would say more like pastries desserts.
Yeah.
So I think it's worth checking out. I also like they have that there's some good washrooms at this pavilion, which is important.
Oh boy. Guys, go to Norway. You can get some cabbage and some good washroom.
And a washroom. Yes.
Yeah, it's true. But geez, when you're walking through, there isn't a washroom in every pavilion.
No.
And so it's good to know where they are.
That's true. This is important business.
Yeah. Sometimes there's some maybe not now, but there have been some Viking characters walking throughout the pavilion.
Yeah.
Just kind of atmospheric. It's, again, very pretty pavilion. I enjoy stopping by here for a number of reasons.
Yeah. But I feel like the Norway Pavilion has that really wood and stone vibe because that's sort of the feel of the architecture in and around the Vikings. But as we head out of that pavilion into the China Pavilion, you're hit with a wall of color. Because I feel like they're really vibrant red and blue and gold. And yeah, I think the whole Chinese pavilion is breathtaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was certainly the one that really captured my imagination mm-hmm. the first time I ever went.
Well, there's sure. The nice little water sort of walk, the bridges over the ponds or the water features.
Yeah, with all the lily pads and the different foliage in there.
Yeah. I also really enjoy watching when we come upon them, the jeweled
dragon acrobats?
Yeah, the live performers here are really fun to watch.
Yes.
I also like walking through the store here. It's sort of one big store. Just so much to look at.
Yeah.
Cute things. We did eat at their Nine Dragons sit-down restaurant before, and there was nothing wrong with it, but I think we felt like you were kind of saying, Ryan, with all the other options that are great at Epcot, this one just wasn't a do again for us, and I felt at home we can get some good similar kind of cuisine,
yeah,
and experience.
Well, and
but...
to be honest, I feel like Nine Dragons was good, but I felt like I got the same caliber of food and flavors at their quick service, which is the Lotus Blossom Cafe.
Yeah, I would stop there again. I liked their quick service.
Yeah.
Do you guys have you watched the movie here, or do you what do you do with your kids here?
Goodness, I'm trying to think of when we were there with the kids. I would say the World Showcase with kids in itself is an interesting, you're not stopping, in my experience.
Yeah.
You're not stopping at every pavilion.
Right.
No.
Otherwise, you'll spend the whole day and you'll end up, spraining one of your kids' arms from dragging them.
Or at every pavilion, you have to buy them something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They just want to shop.
It's a long haul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think for us, legit, no, we probably have, because I don't think we've done China a lot.
No. Mm-hmm.
Typically, we would then skip and go to, and I've already talked about Germany, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So my bad. But it literally is pick and choose. There's so many options. What are you going to do? And also, to a certain extent, again, if you had a stroller and you have an infant who has naps, the World Showcase is totally doable and it's awesome. If you have, the last time when we went, our kids were, 10 and 6. It's fine. But again, there's a bit of compromising and a bit of finagling of, dad really wants to go here and get caramel popcorn. I'm not going to ruin it again, Ryan. And I want to see the trains or whatever, right? And so there's a bit of negotiating. So there are pavilions that we definitely have not spent enough time in.
Yeah.
I think Lauren and I have been, when we just went, we spent a lot of time in the China Pavilion walking around. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's lots of kind of neat things to look at and a lot of trinkets to it's great window shopping and great shopping. But for the kid experience, that's... really that it's you're picking and choosing what's the best option. Mm-hmm. And there are great cast members who have different activities to do at each pavilion called KidCot. And so, you've got that option as well, which it's typically coloring or kind of a simple craft. But with that, again, you have to have a certain kind of child who wants to sit and do a craft while you're hanging out there. And maybe you do that at every other pavilion so that you don't burn all your time watching your kids do camp crafts. And I mean that with all respect. I mean, obviously there's lots of great, the kids love it and that's awesome, but you came to Disney to go wander around and look at all this wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like with kids, you would be better off if you're not going to spend two separate days at Epcot where you can kind of spread out the World Showcase. It's we're going to see some things this trip and we'll see some other stuff the next time we come back to Disney.
For sure. And you know what happens 9 out of 10 times when we go is you start at Mexico and you go to Germany, as I've said. And then on the flip side, you start at Canada and you go up to England or you go up to France.
Yeah.
And what happens is you, because of how long the loop is, and even as an adult without kids, a day at Epcot is a ton of walking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
So, you're not, it's tough to see everything when you've got younger kids with young feet. So, there's a lot of times where I'm sure my kids, I don't even know if they've seen, Morocco or Italy in the pavilion because they're in the World Showcase because we've skipped them and it's tough and they've never seen the American show, which again we'll talk about, but there's all this stuff. So it's really a pick and choose and it's okay because you're right, you're probably going to go again and or you'll go without kids and you'll drink around the world and that's a whole different experience and that's fun too.
For sure. I feel like it's worth mentioning the Reflections of China did get an update this year, right?
Yes.
They redid the filming and the film in general. And so, yeah, it's worth checking out for sure. I know when you walk into, when you first walk towards that theater, that first circular room, I always love pointing out that when you stand in the center point of that circular space, it is an acoustically perfect space. So you can hear your voice echo off of the roof and come back amplified to you. It's a pretty incredible experience. So one of those hidden pieces that's worth checking out. But, you know, I mean, it's probably not going to be any that cool to a six-year-old, but
you just got to sell it in the right way.
Yeah. Ooh, listen yeah. to this and listen. It's
we got
different
a fast
here.
Pass for this. Let's use it.
Let's get moving along to appease Ryan. We will finally get into the German Pavilion.
We're big fans of their caramel couche as well, though.
Yeah.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They have a whole store dedicated to caramel treats. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, guys. You know, you guys are saying that I'm the one hyping this up. It doesn't need any hyping. It's true.
No, we
legit.
Always stop there.
Yeah.
And my sister, like, sometimes she requests me to bring her back a treat from here because it's so good, and it's one of the best smelling places on property.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Everyone has to go there and buy a bag of Werther's because you can't get that anywhere else.
No, but they've got the popcorn that the caramel corn that they're making like fresh there, and then got like. Oh, there's something called a butter bar, which is like kind of like a shortbready kind of square, just lots of squares featuring caramel
drizzled
lots
on
of
top.
Chocolate.
Like lots of things that are gratuitous where you're like, oh yeah, I'll totally have a chocolate brownie wrapped in Rice Krispies dunked in caramel. You know, like you're just like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing, but sure, I'll have that.
When you're on the dining plan, this is a great spot to use your snack credit.
Yep.
Yes.
They also have like this little caramel couche leads into their other stores. There's like very traditional Christmas decorations.
Yep.
And I guess like the Christmas pickle ornament is like a German
thing.
Yeah. So they have lots of pickle ornaments. Like last time I was there, I saw the tiniest pickle ornament. It was pretty cute. And then of course like beer steins, cuckoo clocks. I like wandering through their stores.
What are the fancy stuffed animals?
Oh, Steigel. I can't. They're expensive.
Yeah,
I have to look it up.
I remember the name, but yeah, no. I think each one of those stores is like heavily themed. In the German Pavilion, because you walk into one room and it's full of beer steins, and you walk into another room, it's full of cuckoo clocks, and then there's the Christmas ornaments.
Steiff.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Steiff, and they make like beautiful sort of classic,
all handmade.
And they always
stuffed
have,
animals.
They always have some special like Disney ones. And those Disney ones are like a couple $100 or a few $100s. So
they're not cheap.
No.
So maybe steer your kids away from that particular store. And instead, do you guys talk about you want to eat at the beer garden, right?
Yes. Now, again, it's not for everybody. It's also family style seating or like. You know,
I feel like it's multi-family seating, right?
It's sitting on benches and kind of stuff like that. So again, you gotta, and the environment is very oompa-pa kind of band.
They have
playing,
an oompa band who right? plays.
It's very Oktoberfest. So I really would like to go there again. When you look at the palette of food that would be there, and you look at the options you have in Epcot, it's just never one that we prioritize. But I've heard of many great things from it. It's on my list. Again, I think Germany is, you talk about the Christmas decorations. Of course, it's got the miniaturized train set.
Just outside
of it, that I kind of quasi consider part of it. I think it's one of those ones that to me is a little bit more whimsical. And Lauren and I have been to Germany. And so there's a bit of that I like too about how much it kind of reminds me of the experience in Europe. I really like it. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. And again, honestly, it's an easy one to get kids at because it's got caramel popcorn and it smells like a big caramel.
Yeah.
And of course, they've got a beer cart where you can get beer and like a giant pretzel.
Yeah, and I bet you can get Lederhosen somewhere there.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. It's not one of the larger pavilions.
No.
So I think it feels like doable. Like you can kind of take it in, you know, not that long of a time. But
yeah. Well, it feels so much smaller because there was originally supposed to be an attraction there. And the building is large enough to house an attraction. It was supposed to be another boat ride along the Rhine River. But it never came to fruition. So, no attraction in Germany, but lots of other great things to stop in and see and experience. And with that, let's move along the World Showcase into the Italy Pavilion. Now, what to say about the Italy Pavilion? I feel, personally, this is one of the ones that I would skip. And I mean, no disrespect to any of my Italian friends out there.
Or Italy as a country.
Or Italy as a country. and to be honest, like we did have a really phenomenal experience at Via Napoli, the pizzeria restaurant at the back of the pavilion. We had a really great time there. So if you're going there for that specific purpose, absolutely, definitely worth it. Or even I've heard really great things about Tutto Italia, the other restaurant that's there.
We had a really good we had just like a limoncello cocktail sort of drink there that was strong and lemony and delicious. So like that was good. I like, it's a very open space. It's again like no attractions. I think mainly it, like the food is going to be an attraction here. They have a quick service counter that's I think it's also like attached. It's Via Napoli, I think, as well. Pizza, and they have live performers. But yeah, I think for us, it's one that we just kind of tend to like saunter by a little bit more. I do like looking in one of their shops there that kind of has more like kitchen type items.
Yeah.
Do you guys find that you stop here, or do you kind of bypass it?
The last time we were there, we did a wander through. It's got the Trevi Fountain, right?
That's yeah. right, yeah.
So, I mean, that, and honestly, again, being that we did a very big Europe trip in our younger days before kids, as I look back longingly on those days, that was so much fun. Anyways, that's a whole other podcast. We can do that. But, the Trevi Fountain and a bit of that experience definitely felt really kind of authentic. But again, in comparison to a lot of the other pavilions, I agree, it's not a must do.
I also feel like my opinion may have been somewhat swayed by the years where the Trevi Fountain was the smokers area in Epcot. Yep. And so you just like it sort of was too close to the main area. And yeah. But you get secondhand smoke there.
It no longer is. So it is a good... I feel like there's a lot of nice places to take some photos in this pavilion.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
Should we move along?
Yeah, because we don't normally spend that much time in Italy. So let's move along to the American Adventure Pavilion.
Oh. And
this...
This is the like opposite of our CanCon.
I have never been in it.
What?
I'm not even kidding. Never.
I can like sing the song. I can like do some actions.
I think that's why, is because you've seen it so many times. Every time we go by, you're like, I'm not going in there.
Yeah, fair enough. My mom indoctrinated me with that. I'm sorry, Ryan. I know you're going to talk about the whole pavilion as a whole.
No, absolutely. So the American Adventure as a ride or an attraction is.
But this is like, I think we need to say this. This one is the whole pavilion is sort of like a Liberty Square type feel, like it's that colonial, right? Is that the right?
Yes.
And there is the like the theater just across from there.
Yeah. For so live performances, especially during all of the festivals that run in Epcot or typically run in Epcot, that's where the performances are going to be. But inside the main building, there is the American Adventure attraction. And this is, I would equate this to, it's more engaging than the Hall of Presidents, but you need that same level of patriotism to sort of get that.
I think it's different if you're watching it, like if you've traveled farther from Canada.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I think like we're just so close to it without being it that it kind of, I think Canadians have a bit of a different view than maybe if you're coming from like, I don't know, like they have a lot of like Asian visitors
or people from
Europe. I think
we're speaking for everybody.
No, but I just mean it does appeal to a crowd. It's it is a beautiful theater.
Yes.
It's a beautiful space. Yeah. One thing we do, so we watched it once. It's 40 minutes, which is like a lot of time to give up. I think that's mostly 40 minutes is a long time in the World Showcase to give up.
And again, I'll be Frank, and you guys can be Sally. And in this, I really, sorry, it's terrible. There's a lot of pumping up America's tires on this, in this experience. Like, it's a lot of, look how far we've come, look how great we are. And I think that it's tough to fully admit and see it as an outside observer to be like, wow, you guys really have like come a long way and are amazing. In to be honest, you know, it seems like there's a bit of a backtrack in our political system. So, and I mean, I'll be honest, I think that there is a part, like, I'm like, I'd love to take my kids because the animatronics are still amazing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, really, they really are done well. And the music is very pretty, and there's a lot of storytelling in it. Like it really is kind of cool, but there is a lot of like, wow, we've like really changed who we were, and boy, it's nothing, you know, again, and Ryan hates when I tell you guys the date, but it's close to the last election. And you know, here we are kind of, you know, picking up the pieces of, or watching America pick up the pieces of their democracy. So I that's where I kind of watch it. And I'm like, man, it's really tough to kind of see it as this wholesome experience. And to be honest, I bet you that the majority of the people who go and see it would be the citizens of the country that it's meant for.
Yeah. The one part that stood out to me that I was like, I find this a little hard to swallow is the First Nations like chief who, I don't remember exactly, but he just sort of says something along the lines of like, they just want, you know, one government to rule over. And I was like, I don't know about that. I think they might like some sovereignty on their own land. but again, I mean,
let's talk about good things about this pavilion.
But I don't know.
There's lots of them.
Did we mention, I don't know if we mentioned that this attraction is just simply it's a show.
Yeah. It's
not
a show,
ride.
It's animatronics.
And there was a tour at Epcot that would like take you behind and show you
how they get them up onto the stage is a pretty remarkable feat of engineering.
Also, I've heard, I think that the Epcot Club 33 is in the American Pavilion.
Is it?
I don't know. I'm just saying that's what I've heard.
Wow.
And I haven't heard that it's anywhere else. So.
Not that we'll ever find out. I did want to make
I think my last rant on the American Adventures really seals the deal for us never getting invited to it.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
I did want to mention, so all across the World Showcase, there are performers. We've mentioned a number of them in each pavilion or different pavilions, but they've all changed over the years, except for the Voices of Liberty. The Voices of Liberty are an a cappella group who've been singing in the American Adventure Pavilion since 1982.
But it is, I mean, they switch out people.
Yeah, it's not the same people.
It's kind of like
since
the Dapper
82,
Dance.
But yeah. But
I've
that
been here since 1982.
Yeah. But those, that as a performance is always really breathtaking because it's, they're all pitch perfect singers. And they're singing in an acoustically sound space, and it's a, if you're there and you happen to be there one of the times that they are performing, it's definitely worthwhile to pop in.
They usually do like some patriotic songs, but they'll also do some Disney songs.
Like, yes.
We heard them sing Let It Go.
Yeah.
Or they'll, you know, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. So they sing like a bit of a variety. And I don't know, I would say it's what, 15 minutes, 10 minutes?
If that, yeah.
It's a good show to catch.
Yeah. I will say the other thing that would bring me to the American Adventure Pavilion is the Regal Eagle Smokehouse.
I knew it. Yes. I knew you were
going to
say this.
If it has a Muppet on it, I am going to go there and I'm going to experience it. The fact that it's barbecue is just a bonus for me. But Sam the Eagle is the Regal Eagle. And yeah, good barbecue in the American Adventure Pavilion. I've heard good things about it. We haven't had a chance to experience it yet, but that will be high on my list when we get back there.
Also, if you're a funnel cake fan, this is where you would get your funnel cake from.
Or turkey leg.
Yeah, or turkey leg. Not from Regal Eagle, but there's a little counter. So that's the American Pavilion.
Yeah, let's move into Lauren's favorite pavilion, the Japan Pavilion.
It is my favorite.
If you've listened to any of our podcasts before, you would know.
Yeah, I'm going to try and tone it down and not be like, you know, I think I've said how much I love everything. I love the food. I love the quick service. I love the look and the feel, and I love the shopping.
Yeah.
So I just can't go wrong here. I love the like slushy drink that you can get that they pour the sake over. It's like a snow cone, but with sake.
That's at the Kabuki Cafe, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's. I don't know. That might
or
be
or it's
different.
Right beside it.
Yeah. Anyway, there's. I really enjoyed Tokyo Dining. I had a great solo Thanksgiving dinner there last year. It was great. It was a big bento box. I just love the Japanese culture and like, I don't know, like everything's so cute and I love their snacks, you know? So for me, I enjoy this one.
Yeah.
But we haven't tried to Kumite and I would love to. It's a bit of a, like, you got to reach deep in your pockets for that one. So one day.
Yeah.
It's on the list of one day we'll do it.
But we've dined at Teppanito and had a great experience there. That's like a, you know, your standard hibachi experience. But yeah, Takumite is probably going to be one on our bucket list.
That's
for sure.
A signature dining. Do you find that this is one that you would skip with your kids?
We have done Teppanito, okay. Which
when Finn was really little.
You know, Finn was two. Hadley wasn't here yet.
Such good memories. We enjoyed it.
That's not to say, no, Hadley's great. We like Hadley. It's not like I made a better trip without her.
Yeah, we definitely, he was entertained by it. I mean, he's two and a half, and he's still a little guy who can't sit still. He's a big guy now that can't sit still. And he did do a good job. They put on quite a show at the time anyway. And I think that kept him engaged. And his aunt was with us and she was the one that got chosen to go up and help the chef.
Ooh.
And so that really, I think, helped keep him engaged.
Yeah.
Which is all it's about when you have little people that you just want to sit for a minute. And, you know, so that was good. And I mean... I think there was just lots of rice and I'm pretty sure he ate all that. It was fine, you know?
Yeah.
It was a really fun experience.
But yeah. We've always had fun there and
good food. And
I love like the cast members there do such a good job.
Yes.
You've got, fantastic. You've got your server, but then the chef comes out and they cook everything like there in front of you. And yeah, they put on a bit of a show. And I do remember the first time I went, the chef started by, they put the oil on the grill and he drizzled it out of like a little ladle in like the Disney signature. And I was like, I was just sold. Like it was so, and he did it upside down. Like he, you know, that was such a nice little touch. I haven't seen it done since.
But was it better than cabbage?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was. Anyway.
But
you're just saying that.
Yeah. you love the Mitsukoshi department store there.
Yeah,
because there's so many different rooms in there to experience.
That's an experience for sure.
Yeah, yes. But I feel like that would be difficult, especially if you had kids who are into anything Japanese. Like,
Pokemon is there.
Pokemon, Zelda. Yeah.
Thank God they didn't like Pokemon when we were there.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think we fully had them explore, because when we went the last time without them, we had, as you'd expect, we had more time to meander, and we didn't have a time frame that we had to worry about and the little tummies being full. So we had a lot of time to kind of just explore. And I don't think we took our kids fully through the whole store.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah, well, absolutely, for sure, for our pocketbook as well as our patients. But no, it's definitely, and that would be actually a really cool store if you had some like tweens or some older kids, or kids who have, maybe a just calmer in general, or more patience than ours. Because it really is, there's a lot of cool things to take in there.
Well, and I don't think we mentioned, but the neat thing about all the shopping in the World Showcase is that so many of these items are imported.
Yeah.
Like from those countries directly. So the prices sometimes are a little bit higher on some items. You will find some Disney things, or you'll find some. Last time I was there, I even noticed there's a little bit more of like, you'll have a t-shirt that's sort of a Disney brand, but saying like the Germany Pavilion. So there's a little bit more crossover. But that's what's cool about the shopping there, is that you can find a lot of items that are like, they're not Disney-fied, but they're from those countries. So it's just like, it's a fun shopping experience throughout the World Showcase.
Yeah. Let's make a quick stop into the Morocco Pavilion, where I feel like this is like that marketplace is a great one to walk through, because there's lots to see. But I feel like I can get lost in the Morocco Pavilion, because it does have some twists and turns back there.
It does feel like, it feels large. It feels like, I will say that one is quite transportive.
Yeah. Well, I know like you have, it has two table service restaurants and one quick service. One of the table service restaurants, the Spice Road Table, is at the front of the pavilion. That's the one closest to the lagoon. But you have to sort of meander your way to the back of the pavilion through a number of different twists and turns to get to Restaurant Marrakesh, which is at the back. And then somewhere in the middle is Tangerine Cafe, the quick service restaurant. I feel like this is a really immersive pavilion to walk through.
It's very detailed. There's like a beautiful fountain at the sort of at the front of it with a lot of like mosaic type tiles, and so you'll see it's a popular photo spot. When characters are meeting, you can meet Jasmine and Aladdin here.
Well, and this sorry Lauren, no. I was just gonna say, and the news as of late is that the Moroccan government has been kind of, I don't want to say curating it, or somewhat in charge of
they were sponsoring the pavilion for sure.
And now that has they will still be somehow involved, but are no longer going to be sponsoring the pavilion. And so the speculation is that it's going to have a little bit more Disney property in it, maybe more of a Aladdin theme.
I would suspect it. So yeah.
Well, that's what we saw happen with Norway. That was when the change happened, when Maelstrom went to Frozen. It was because Norway was no longer sponsoring it. So
but one of the great things about it was that the Moroccan government has had such a hand in developing it. And creating, the design. Right? Yeah.
I think it was King Hassan II sent like actual designers to Disney to help put it together and do some of the mosaics that are in that pavilion. They're pretty remarkable.
So yeah, no attractions here other than just like the pavilion and walking through, and the shopping here is, like we said, sort of walking through. It kind of has a like an open market feel that kind of winds around. We enjoy Tangerine Cafe. Baklava is always a delicious treat here. we haven't done the sit down yet. I think we had
either of them yet.
Yeah, we had a Spice Road Table, and we just, I think time wise, we ended up having to change that. But, you know, it's one of those things we will get to.
Yep. That's the plan. So let's keep walking along the World Showcase. We're getting closer to the end here. But we'll make a stop in France. And France has, if you're into food, France has it going on.
France is about to be a real heavy hitter, pavilion-wise.
Yeah, especially once Ratatouille opens.
That's exactly what I was referring to.
Yeah. No. So as an attraction, I feel, that'll be such a huge draw. Whereas before, it was just about the food. And, I mean, Impressions de France, the film, was not a huge draw.
They updated a little bit,
but it hasn't been, you know, as greatly received as some of the other ones.
It's really got beautiful music and beautiful scenery.
Yes.
And you can sit down and watch it.
Really, if you're here, it was about the food. And I feel like the big draws here, obviously Chef de France is the big draw, I think, for families. It's a really easy one to go where there is there's good food for the kids, and then there's also some really great options for parents as well. Have you guys been
to Chef de France?
Yes.
Yeah, we did Chef de France in on our last trip without kids.
I don't know if I would take my kids.
No.
I thought it was really congested. That's true. I thought it's pretty loud.
Yeah.
I like, and the table, we were so close to the next table. I would be stressed out about my kids interrupting other people's meals.
We sat on one of the, like, kind of the, I don't know how, it's one of like the windowed areas. So we were not in the main dining room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It felt a little bit, I think we did probably have a little bit more space. We also went at lunch. It wasn't as busy.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, it's definitely a popular place to eat.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It has. So the France Pavilion has, and I've said this before, it's my favorite restaurant on Disney property, and that's Monsieur Paul. If you go to the back of the pavilion, it's upstairs on the second floor above Chef de France. And some of the best food that I've ever had.
Dinner only.
And it feels like it's a signature dining. So it's going to be a little pricier, but it's, if you're celebrating something or you just want to treat yourself to a great meal, that was a great place to go.
But let's go down and be a little more pedestrian.
Sure. So this is the big draw in the France Pavilion is always Le Halle Boulangerie Pâtisserie, which is...
Oh, it's very fancy.
Yep. Yeah. I'm not getting any flack. I'm not getting any flack for mispronouncing it anymore. Le Halle is the place where you can get all of the delicious French pastries.
It's a quick service. They do have some sandwiches and quiche. But this is like a great stop for any meal. I'm sure we've talked about it before, but it's great for breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Yeah.
And this is definitely, so I would, for our family, I would choose this over Chef de France any day of the week.
I think I would now too.
I'm going to jump on board.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you get...
The only trouble is finding seating.
Yeah,
that's true. That is so frustrating, but...
It's so limited inside, and there's, maybe six tables outside.
Yeah.
So, unless you happen to be there in an off hour, it's pretty busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I do feel like it's less busy for breakfast, because... The majority of people, when Epcot first opens, the majority of people are walking over to Norway on the other side of the World Showcase Lagoon to go to Frozen Ever After if they don't already have a fast pass for it, or even just to go and experience it. But heading up to France, where until Ratatouille opens, it wasn't as big a draw to get that far into the World Showcase when really the World Showcase isn't really open until 11.
I just want to stay at like the Boardwalk or Beach Club. Like I want to stay over at those resorts. And then I just want to pop over for breakfast every morning at Le Halle and then like be on my way.
But Lauren, you can now stay at Caribbean Beach Pop Century Art of Animation, and you can get dropped off at the Skyliner and have like a 2-minute walk to French. And so, that now makes me wonder. Well, for sure, absolutely. No, I'm all with you on this plan. But it does make me wonder, since we haven't had a ton of time to really evaluate how the Skyliner will impact an Epcot morning, because by the time, you know, we've you know, 6 months in, and then COVID kind of hit. But I bet you're right. I bet you France is as a happen in place for breakfast now, more so than it was pre Skyliner.
Although you would need park hoppers.
Now you would. Yeah.
Now at this point you would need a park hopper, and that's not a thing right now.
If you're gonna start your day at Epcot, just spend the day at Epcot using the Skyliner. Oh, right, because you need a park hopper. No, you can use the Skyliner without a park hopper.
Yeah, you can use the Skyliner, but you can't get into the park without, you know, a ticket.
Right. Yeah.
So you have to. But if you were spending your whole day at Epcot, for sure. But Lauren's point of stopping in every day for breakfast and then continuing on. You need an annual pass.
Yeah, in this scenario, I'm still an annual pass holder. So
I thought you meant like, I agree. You need a park hopper to do crazy parking. Yeah. But start off at Epcot and go to France.
Plus, there's also a crepe place that opened.
Yes.
That's going to be another draw for breakfast as well. Hopefully
a Nutella crepe with strawberries right now would be amazing.
Yeah, this is a place to stop for food.
Yes.
And soon for a ride. I like looking in some of the shops too.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's and you can buy bottles of wine here.
Yep.
Yep.
And it's and perfume, so pretty. I believe. Yeah. I never really go in there.
No, me neither. I think that France is one of those places where you can feel really fancy.
Yes.
And yet I think you can actually see people who are really fancy too. Cause I think if people are buying really expensive wine there and people are buying really expensive perfume, and I can't do that, you know, with the American dollar anyways. But anyways, I do think that there is a niche market of expensive goods that people buy there, and it's pretty interesting to watch.
Yeah. Also like wonderful accents.
Oh, for sure.
They just sound lovely.
Yeah.
And I would say that maybe about most places. It's kind of fun to go and like see what part of the country, different country people are from. But anyway, shall we keep
tracking? Let's keep sauntering on and head. So it's across the bridge into which represents the break in. There's no land in between the UK and France. So that's what that bridge is for. But into the UK pavilion.
Also, this is where that bridge is sort of where you come out if you are entering from the international gateway.
Yeah, you're sort of just at that point in between those two pavilions. The UK pavilion, I feel like it feels sort of like the other pavilions in the sense that when you walk through the shops, there are very segmented areas. There's the the spot where you can pick up all the soccer or the football jerseys, and then there's the like the name lineage place.
I walked through there pretty fast.
We walked through pretty fast. Then there's the tea shop, which I think is a big draw.
Yeah, I like looking through there.
Yeah,
there's some jewelry. There's some kitchen things.
Yeah.
I really like the look of the British Pavilion. I really like, there is something very quaint and very familiar about it that I really like. It just, to me, it's one of those pavilions where I absolutely could wander around a little bit longer than others. I just like the way it feels. I know it's not as in-depth as some other ones.
No, but it feels like it's its own little village.
It does. I think it does a good job, sort of incorporating a number of different looks or feels, but it still feels very cohesive. And I think you can also find some quiet spots, like behind that tea house is like the Rose Garden. And sometimes Mary Poppins is out there meeting. You can meet Alice in front of the tea house. And then, of course, there's like the Rose and Crown pub restaurant area.
Yeah.
Fish and Chips is their quick service, which is actually like pretty tasty.
Yeah, that's the Yorkshire County Fish Shop.
Yeah.
Just tied. It's the same building as Rose and Crown. It's just on the outside. And then on the other side, there's a beer cart.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to go into the pub to get beer. It's just right there for you.
I would say this is like can be a pretty... a pretty happening pavilion.
Yeah.
Like there's definitely more room to walk than like this is a pavilion that you're walking through. It's on either side of you.
Yep.
Whereas that isn't really the case with all like a lot of them.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, it has a nice feel.
And go take your picture in the stereotypical English phone booth.
Yeah. There's a few of those.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, you know, the UK is a great pavilion to stop off in, but let's be honest, the best pavilion of them all, because we're Canadian and we have to pump it up, is the Canadian Pavilion.
I don't know if I believe you or agree with you that it's the best pavilion.
Go back way back in our archives. We did a Canada Day podcast on the Canadian Pavilion.
Yeah.
So you can get an in-depth look at that particular pavilion, but let's talk about it briefly now.
I do think it's a very pretty, like the Victoria,
it's absolutely. The Victoria Gardens.
Yeah.
Yeah, out the back.
Yeah.
That are...
that little cottage.
It's the Butchart Gardens, in BC.
Victoria, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the chateau that's there and... the totems that are there, mm-hmm. The totem poles. Le Cellier continues to be like one of the popular restaurants because it's a steakhouse. Go Alberta Beef. It's signature dining. And it's a really popular place. I always see you have to walk past the popcorn cart, and I don't really know that Canada is known for its popcorn and why it's there, but
I think they just like have pop, like you have to be able to get popcorn at a Disney park
somewhere.
They also sell it there. Like Moosehead is the Canadian beer, I think.
Yeah, they sell there. I think there's a few that you can get, but yeah.
I was just gonna say I thought you're gonna okay. Again, I don't want to be known as the guy who's like grumpy and like, oh,
it's Ryan's... too late for that.
London Ryan is like the grumpy Gus. I think that the Canadian Pavilion like lacks much. Yeah. I think that it, you know, the store is
nothing.
It's nothing. Again, it looks really pretty. I suspect that there's a lot of functionality behind the scenes of the Canadian Pavilion, which is why it's situated the way it is, and they probably just needed something to fill it up. It's a bummer because you'd think with the relationship that Canada and America has, that Canada would have a more grandiose pavilion, which is more options. But you know, it is what it is. I just think that it's too bad that. You look at all the other pavilions, and I think, to be honest, it would be tough to find one that I would stay in less than the Canadian one. Now, again, being Canadian, maybe that's sure. part of it. It doesn't, going inside and seeing the totem poles doesn't excite me. I've seen totem poles,
all that kind of stuff. I wonder too, how other citizens of the world feel about their respective pavilions, because when we go into ours, especially in the gift shop, it feels like a joke. Like it feels like one big stereotypical joke. And it's not, it lacks sincerity, I feel like, in that sense.
The flip side, Japan's got a like store that is like the size of a small city. So
that's true.
Like where's Hudson Bay in all of this? I don't know. The bay blanket and all of that, like I feel is very Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's other things that they could have there, but
it's not just plaid and maple syrup.
No.
Yeah. We love those. I mean, We talked about the performers, and remember the performers used to be Lumberjacks.
Yeah, for a few years they had the Lumberjacks there.
And then they had the band that people liked off kilter.
Yes, yes. And I mean, truthfully, Canadians are really good at kind of making fun of how, you know, everything's hockey and everything's cold and everything's about beer and all that stuff. So there is a bit of tongue in cheek, I think, that, you know, we can kind of look at it and say the same. But I am surprised. I think that it's a bit of a watered down experience compared to, you know, we talked about France or Norway's. And I mean, Norway's also partially Arendelle.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
I wish that there was a quick service.
Yeah.
You know, like, why?
It'd be nice to pop
why
in.
Can't we just get some, like, I don't know, I guess, like,
would it be like Donair?
Yeah. No, I think people would like that.
I'm sure that they would force that cheddar cheese soup.
But also, like, why can't you get a Nanaimo bar somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. I think there's
just, like, some good things that would do well, or, like, have a little bakery counter or something inside.
Yes.
Or have a Brother Bear meet and greet. I mean, like, I'm saying, you know, or, you know, so.
Now, we haven't seen the new Circle Vision show, the Canada Far and Wide. I feel like it will have been an improvement on the last one, especially because this one is narrated by Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy, who are like Canada's pseudo power couple.
No kidding.
Yeah. Well, I do wish that Dan Levy made a little bit of an appearance, but
but
whatever. I love those two. I prefer them to their SCTV brother, Martin Short.
Yeah.
He's fine.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that, and having high hopes for it, or at least moderate hopes for it.
Well, we've been watching Schitt's Creek too, and I was just saying, like, I always forget that Catherine O'Hara was the voice of Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Cause she just, like, she does it so well. And also the witch from the three.
Yeah.
Lock, Shock, and Barrel. The three little rascals. I don't know. Anyway, so there is a Disney tie there as well as Canadian.
Yeah. But
that
brings us around the World Showcase. And I feel like we've gone pretty in depth in each one of those pavilions. Yeah. We could spend an hour on each one, really.
Yeah.
But a good overview of each one of the pavilions. Maybe really quickly, let's talk about a nighttime spectacular there, because it used to be Illuminations, and then we're going to see Harmonious at some point.
Epcot Forever was in there.
Epcot Forever was in the middle. But in terms of your favorite pavilion to stop and watch from, I feel like there are a lot of good vantage points, and really there are a few bad vantage points around the World Showcase Lagoon, but what are some of your favorite places?
I think that some of the places that people pick have to do with how quickly they can exit from those spots.
Just gonna say that Mexico and Norway with kids.
Well, and I think Canada is really popular for that too. Yeah.
Now Canada's cool because you've got the steps, so you can sometimes get a really interesting vantage point if you're up higher on the steps.
It's got a good view too.
Yeah, I would say for us, it's been typically in between Mexico and Norway, right on the other side of the restaurant we're talking about, the Taqueria for Mexico there. On the left side of that is typically where we've watched it.
I know there are people who try to make reservations at La Hacienda and like Rose and Crown, where you have the potential of being seated somewhere where you can see the nighttime spectacular. It's not a guarantee. You can certainly try, but that is one way that I've heard of people trying to essentially get a seated position to be able to watch the show.
That's a late dinner.
Yeah, it's certainly I think it's more of like a late night snack than anything else. For me, I do enjoy watching from the Japan Pavilion, and a few years ago, we watched Illuminations from the second story of the Mitsukoshi department store there. That's a really great vantage point. And yeah, Lauren had her sake over ice and, yep, and was happy as a clam. And then we got to watch Illuminations.
Yeah. And I think now, like, Italy will, well, Italy has been popular to watch from, but now that, like, by the International Gateway with the Skyliner, like, that's also a quick exit if you're staying over yeah there. And yeah, also, like, a good view. I just want to change the subject, but obviously still a World Showcase. But I had put out, like, some feelers on our Instagram just saying, like, asking people, like, what's your favorite pavilion? I just wanted to get a sense and see what people thought. But I will say that, and obviously this is very scientific, but the overall, I would say that Mexico was the favorite.
Wow.
And then I also asked, like, where do you like to eat in the World Showcase? But France came out on top for, because I just think there's a lot of options there. So yeah, anyway, I just wanted to say thank you to those who weighed in. And that was sort of more the response. Some people said Italy, like there was no one said Canada, but there was like definitely, I would say everybody, nothing is really being left out, you know, like every pavilion is someone's favorite.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And anything I may have said that offended anybody regarding the American Adventure was only meant in the times we are politically. They will change, and maybe the American Adventure one will too.
Yeah, maybe.
One can only hope.
Yeah.
One can only hope.
I think that's a good place for us to end things off. Yeah, I would say we certainly do want to thank everybody who did participate in our very scientific survey, where we've scientifically proven that Mexico is the favorite pavilion.
They were all legal votes. I just want to, I know that's topical, but I just want to say, I counted them all. They
and
were
if you're
all legal.
Still listening,
I couldn't help it.
Yeah. actually, that's a good point. Go on over to our Instagram and Facebook pages. If you search for Dole Whips and Double Doubles, you can't miss us. You know, if we get another opportunity to put the feelers out for asking for input on our future podcasts, it'd be great if you would follow us there, because you'll get a chance to weigh in on those and be part of the science.
Yeah, tell us what the next showcase should be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Head on over, find the post for this particular episode, and yeah, in the comments, let us know what you think a new World Showcase pavilion should be, which country would get your vote. Yeah, that's it. We want to thank you so much for listening in. And if you like the podcast, please share it with your friends. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast in whatever way, shape, or form you listen to podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps us out. And give us a rating if you get an opportunity to. We want to thank you for listening so much. On behalf of myself, Ryan, and Lauren, we are the Double Doubles. You've been listening to Dole Whips and Double Doubles. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to you joining us again next time.